Like, yeah, we told you.
Yeah.
We might as well just talk over it. We don't even want to wait. The intro's playing. We're already just like...
Funny intro. X-Men.
Yeah, sorry, y'all. We got to talk X-Men.
Like, why are we here? Hey, take that back screen down.
You guys know why we're here. Look, this crazy man. He's so excited. Yeah. He's so damn excited. He's just like, please, let me talk about this.
I mean, I could just do this, pivot to that corner of my office.
Yeah.
The entire front side. Let's
I would have to go get my X. Oh, yeah, I have my X-Wing over there with all the X-Men on it and everything. But guys, we're going to be talking about X-Men 97. It's crazy. It is crazy how exciting that... This return has been for fans of the original franchise.
For me, fuck the fans. Me.
Dude, this was like, let me put it this way. It was, as a 40, I just turned 40. It is the best birthday gift ever.
That is a very good birthday
universe
gift.
You know, like I didn't ask for this. The universe brought this to my doorstep.
Yeah.
I am stupid happy with these results. That's just like a prequel.
Where did Skinny go? Skinny done disappeared on us. Yeah.
But no, dude. Like I'm just gonna say that's like my precursor. We're gonna dive into it, but that's it was amazing.
So X-Men 97 is, for those of you who don't know, if you're watching this and you don't know what we're talking about, that is ultimately insanely shocking to me, because I fully expect you to have already been paying attention. If you're a fan of our show, you've heard us talk about it ad nauseum, and by ad nauseum I mean with more pleasure and joy and excitement than anything. You know, back in August, if you guys watched the replay of the recent episode, we had Skinny had like a whole bunch of predictions that he made while he was talking about X-Men 97 when we had Akeem on the show. And you know, we were just like, this is going to be great. I'm just going to add this to the screen real quick, add to the stage, because we, you know, we're here with it. Look at that. So it's when the original series ended, it was difficult for a lot of fans, especially because I know we were kids, but there was moments where we understood that the animation quality had changed drastically, and you could tell that things just were on the outs. Like, we were at a phase. Oh, sorry. I'm going to put this back so that Skinny can show off his shirt now. Because
all upset about it.
I changed. I was in hospital clothes. I had to change anyway. So I was just like, why not? You know what
I mean? I have my mat here that I could show everyone, but I
have that mat.
Can I get that mat? Why don't I have that mat?
Where did you get yours, Dave? Did the same spot I told you?
Yeah, you told me, and I went right there, and then I was walking in the store, and they had a bunch of mats.
Yeah,
and I was going through it, and the guy eventually came up to me. He's like, "Dude, like, which mat are you? Are you looking for something specific?" And I'm like,
"Jim Lee X-Men."
My friend bought this, and I showed them picture. Like, oh, I could order you that. I'm like.
Then yeah.
Angle.
I need the store's name.
I'll hook it up after. But folks,
to the photo as you had.
Yeah, I guess I could do that. But so let's begin. So as I was saying, we had this original series back in the 90s for us 90s kids, and it was fantastic. It was really detailed. It was way more in depth of a show talking about things with regards to civil rights and freedom of expression and acceptance of that everyone deserves the right to exist and to live. You know, I watched the movie, the movie American Society of Magical Negroes last night, and that movie, as much as the trailer didn't make it seem like it was great, the movie has such a great message about, hey, I just deserve to exist and I have a right to exist. And it's funny to think that we're still having those conversations in 2024, because this show was doing that in the 90s and the comic book was doing it in the 60s. And to see that continuous legacy of trying to speak up for anybody out there who doesn't feel accepted is, and to do it in such a acceptable and fun format, because a spoonful of sugar really gets the medicine to people, and the X-Men is sugar pie when it comes to trying to get the message across. Because when you watch that first episode and the second episode, and you have Magneto crying in space, telling you, y'all better understand, don't make me get mad. Like, don't let me let you down. I'm cool. I'm here to.
I'm straight.
Don't you put me in a situation where I have to show you what. You know what I mean? Skinny, go ahead.
Don't push me because I'm close to the edge. He's literally rapping to these guys.
Yes.
I will kill y'all. Like, that's it, man.
That's just kill you.
I should smite you. Man, use the word smite.
He's like, yes. Oh, what's God power? You mean this God power that I have at any time? Yeah, I'm trying. Due to one of my friends dying for you, I'm choosing not to kill you.
Yeah.
So do you mind just like making it a little easier for me?
I would love for there to be a real Magneto, because just seeing a man floating with like a human, three humans and a little human ball through this, like, come on. Like, ah.
So now that we've broken down what the show meant to us and what the message of the show is, and for all the neckbeards out there who are complaining about it being more aware than it's ever been, it's just like, it's been like
it's
this.
Always been long. Aware.
Thank you for using the word aware. Thank you, Brian.
Precursor for kids to learn what racism is like without using terms of racism or prejudice. Sorry. I find racism the most is in it.
You're not wrong. It's prejudice in general. It's bigotry in general. But racism, at least for us, I imagine you and I can speak to it. I think we talked about it when Bo DeMeo talked. You were saying that, I think you said, right, Skinny? He's black. His adopted sister is Korean. His parents... Oh, it was Dave. My bad, Dave. So
yeah, it was. He's a black man who's also homosexual, and he's from a foster family.
Yeah,
and his parents are Caucasian, and his other adopted sister, I think, is Korean.
Right.
So like him seeing that, it's like he's like, how is this not the X-Men? And how is it not the X-Men?
I am an X-Men. I feel like I am an X-Men. I am of an adopted family working to try and make the world better, working together to show the world that people can live in unison and be happy together. And you can see he poured that into the show. We still don't know why he's not there, but man, you said this is going to have four seasons.
Possibly. I'm calling four seasons. Two have been developed. Season three, obviously, they're going to go ahead with season three after the season, the reactions to the first two episodes. And if they're smart, they'll go with four seasons. If they're really trying to long ball it, go five and then give us by the time. That'll hold us off for the movies. If you guys really want to push for the movies, keep this still going. Don't not have X-Men in the media if you're trying to pull out movies.
Can I ask you guys a question real quick? Because Skinny, you're saying it. Would you be okay with the X-Men being slow rolled in the MCU if we got just more of this, the animated series, and developing a more, instead of an MCU, Marvel Cinematic Universe, a Marvel Animated Universe?
It would save them a lot of money.
Mm.
Here's why. All the stories, nicely predicted, everything that they're doing here with Storm losing their powers or things that happened years ago, it would save them money to just do it in animation, which we want to see. It gives you guys more freedom with your action. Look at the action. Look at how they made my boy Cyclops look great.
Oh my God.
Right? We'll get to that. They would save themselves a whole lot of trouble and money not translating that to live screen and then just bringing in the X-Men when they're ready to do Avengers versus X-Men, say, I don't know, 3-4 years, and then just bring them in. You can bring the X-Men into the live action at the Krakoan point right now if you wanted to in, say, 2028, as long as you keep this shit going. That's 4 years.
I feel they should be doing some of the X-Men stuff a little bit more. You can't jump to Krakoa,
but let me tell you, we love the 90s X-Men, but the 90s X-Men stories sucked.
Yeah, but that's why they're dead now with the multi. If Deadpool does what it's supposed to do, it will basically remove anything bad and say the Deadpool movie, I'm making it maybe a prediction now. I think it's going to be basically, he's going to reset the universe in such ways that he's going to basically say all the stuff we don't like, we're getting rid of. And he's going to like re-kill himself and all that other stuff that he did in his other movies.
I understand. He's
like, all the stuff that we like, we'll keep or we're going to steal. They're just going to go on.
If you're saying that, for the Fox movies, that's amazing. What I'm saying is if you might be saying we can't jump to Krakoa right yet, I understand. They've tried to do, not all of them, but they tried to do the most main story of the Chris Claremont era. They could try other ones. But for everyone who out there who says, hey, we love the 90s X-Men, all the stories that the 90s X-Men show was telling were the Chris Claremont stories from the 60s. The 90s X-Men stories, the comics, suck. They're not that good. So we have Executioner's song, which is
good.
The appearance of Strife, and that's good. And then there's the one where Xavier wipes Magneto's brain, which is...
Oh.
And he pulls all the adamantium from Wolverine. Those are the two high point great stories. Yeah, so, but they'd have to build to that. In the movie form.
You could use the characters now to hint to those things and then make movies about them.
Fine. I would say when you guys are saying that, are you saying to do kind of like what Star Wars is doing? Because I know, Dave, you've mentioned that in the past. I think, Skinny, you've also said it. The idea of using the animated characters and just bringing them into the live action and going back and forth. So you guys are feeling like, you know, Earth X-Men 97, whatever Earth number it is, could just be an animated world, but in the MCU, you know, 19999.
Yeah. Based on what they do in Deadpool 3, like my boy is saying over here, they could just be like animated X-Men universe. Whoop! Now you're MCU, and this is all the same.
You could just make up make Deadpool make a stupid comment even about gear to be like, these are the same people, but for some weird reason, when they dress in animated, they look different than, like, you know, you could do whatever.
That would be cool too. I'd be down with
you. Could
that.
Do whatever. The beauty thing about Deadpool is they could enter the X-Men any way they want. That's what's the best thing about Deadpool, because they already said it's about the time, the TVA, right?
Yeah.
So, like, you know that there's manipulation of, like, I think their mission is to fix this, and this is Fox. Like, we're gonna just take this. What was wrong? All the ages were wrong. We're going to fix that.
That's another thing to add to later, but I'll throw in about this is we also have to think of in terms of the 616 comics, where is the MCU now timeline-wise? You would say, Brian, would you say like all new, all different?
Well, I would say specifically there's still 1610.
Right.
Because if anything, what they did was, so for those of you who don't know Marvel, and again, I know I say that, but most of the people who are watching this are nerds like us, so gang. But if you know, the MCU is based predominantly on the 1610 universe, and now they're using, I would say the 616 is more copying 1610 than vice versa, you know, because they're trying to copy the movies. But if you're, I would say
they're like all new, all different. Like,
it's not that all era, new, all
different. Yeah, what's that era? It's right before the Civil War, but it wasn't Heroes Reborn.
Because I have some of the issues.
It
was that gold kind of writing thing.
Where Steve Rogers is in S.H.I.E.L.D.
And he's like leading S.H.I.E.L.D. And
right, and our boy Falcon is Cap, like that era. That's where they're at. So you have to think, where were the X-Men at that point?
Wasn't that when they were trying to erase the X-Men?
Exactly. So they don't really have a history for the X-Men there.
I think one thing that they might change is they can't put X-Men at, like, they're going to tell the same stories, but I don't think in the same chronological order.
They didn't do that with.
You need to have some basic X-Men stories to at least catch up to try and be to where they are now in the movie, like storylines, movie wise, like, because you have comic book going up, and you have the movies, right? The movies surpassed the comic books at one point in time in general.
Yes,
and then if you have Avengers that's already gone in ahead of X-Men, you have to do a bit of catch up. There's to be at least one to two, or maybe even three movies of like X-Men movies to catch up to wherever they are in the actual timeline at the same time, if you know what I'm trying to say.
I hear you. I just really do feel like they're going to pivot on this show so much that they're going to be like, you want to know X-Men? This is your introductory. Just watch this. Watch it. Watch
100%.
It. Watch this. And then when we get like the reason, that's the only reason why they're putting this. They would just call it X-Men if they wanted to just make it X-Men by itself. But they're putting that 97 stamp so that when it's like, it's 2024. Hi, here's your X-Men. You want to know what happened to them? Check out 97.
Well, onward. Can we talk about this? Just because it's really distracting me.
I wasn't expecting this.
Can we talk about the intro?
Okay,
can
so
we just talk about the intro?
Yeah, we're 15 minutes in, so I wanted to transition into us discussing the actual episode. Yeah. But I feel like the reason we want to give you guys so much backstory is because we're not Fairweather fans. We're the legits thing, and we have actual deep connections and feelings when it comes to this series. So that's why we're really excited to talk about it, and we wanted to give you a little bit of backstory, a little bit of like, these are the things that we think are going to happen. But yes, let's talk about it. So we start the episode off, we start X-Men 97, we're catching up, you know, the classic X-Men style previously on X-Men, you know, and it's a lot, guys. We Charles left because of the power amplification. Magneto helped him. Charles really spoke to Magneto and tried to convey to him, like, hey, homie, I need you to hold it down. Like, I understand where you're coming from. Because that's the other thing. If these two characters were actually based off the civil rights movement and the idea of, like, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. and Malcolm X, and even if they're not based off of that, even if you have the dichotomy of one person who wants to try a peaceful approach and one person who's making a more safer effort. Yeah, like a more aggressive approach is, you know, at some point, the person who's making the aggressive approach will be asked to think about it real hard. Because right now it feels like you're coming from a position of rage and not from a position of convincing someone, not from a position of the spoonful of sugar, not from a position of trying to convey why we are all equal, because you're angry because of what people have done to you and you're just going hard. And Magneto, throughout the whole series, as we've seen, even in the opening, with dude doing like, you see Charles putting his hand to his temple to be the mind, and then you see Magneto putting up his fist. That's a very clear definition of the two different approaches to trying to convey balance in the world. So when you're watching this intro, and I'll play it again in the background while we're talking about it. I have to say, for me, it was the nostalgia of it was wild.
There's a video online where the people mirror the like our original one and this one.
Yeah.
And so you could see where they sped up things, but they actually, what I didn't realize is because
they added detail where there wasn't before because they had no budget.
They added more characters and some of the order of the, like, all the same imagery was there,
yeah,
but it was in different order. Like, some of the times when someone, like, let's say, example, there's that classic moment where there's a Sentinel that's grabbing Rogue and she just grabs it and, like, flips over her.
Yes,
that happens at completely different times in comparison when you actually have them running side by side.
Right, because it focuses more on New Rogue's face, which is actually from the original storyboard, but they couldn't put it in because they had
You saw no it too, budget. Skinny? Yeah, you watched it too? Yeah, shout out to you. Ryan.
I was so happy. 30 seconds, like, halfway into the intro, just because there was noise happening in my area and it stopped. I rewinded it because I was so happy and flabbergasted after I saw some of Morph stuff. I wasn't paying attention because I was like, I was so overburdened by happiness of what I was seeing as an intro.
There was no Sentinels there before. They replaced Lady Deathstrike with Emma Frost in the intro.
Yeah.
They did a bunch. Like, I come on.
For the stuff with Morph.
Yeah.
Morph is back. We know that Morph has been manipulated in the past. Do we think that look into Morph's eye where you're seeing Mr. Sinister is a nod to potential still affliction? Yeah. Okay.
Either that or the PTSD he's dealing with for Sinister. Sinister is always going to be his weakness, so on and so forth.
I think there's going to be I think just based off of the episodes you saw that there's going to be more.
Okay, so
Sinister's coming through. Yeah,
are we putting spoiler alert? Sinister's are we talking about this?
Yeah, like, no. We're so doing this is spoiler. People, if you're watching this, we're spoiling. We're not doing some kind of hoity-toity high art. No, we're gonna talk about what we saw because we really like the show. Roberto is kidnapped and is being sent somewhere. Someone has hired the FOH and is
out of here.
Yeah, sending mutants off to be, you know, God knows what. They don't even know. They just know someone's paying them. So but the fact that they're most likely working for Sinister is very interesting to me. And I was immediately convinced that was a nod to Sinister and that we were going to be getting Sinister. I thought we were going to see Sinister maybe in the first or second episode. Ambitious thought of mine, which is funny. But it's coming. It is coming, folks. I feel like it's coming. I don't think we're executioner. We're expecting it. right? Like Sinister is meant to be the big bad.
Well, I mean, the whole concept that like we're obviously dealing with, at the end of episode two, Cyclops is, am I married to Jean or the clone whole thing? That's obviously going to happen.
You're jumping. Big thing that you find out at the ending of the second episode, because Jean show up on the doorstep of the mansion, and you know, Jean is inside, had just delivered Nathan. So we're like, who the fuck is this lady? So who's the clone? Who's the baby mama? What are we gonna do?
I like that approach over the comics. It's like not over the comics, but it's as a nice way to do it instead of what they did in the comics. Because
I don't remember how the comic did it, so please.
Boy, howdy. Okay, so all of this went down after the Dark Phoenix saga, which is issue 139. 139, Kitty Pryde shows up. So 138, 137 was Dark Phoenix, them fighting Shi'ar, so on and so forth. In the X-Men cartoon, Jean sacrificed herself, but all of them gave part of their life force to save her. Nah. In the comics, let me tell you something. Jean died.
Yeah.
She did. So Cyclops was like, listen, this is crazy. I'm wild depressed. I'm out. Angel popped in. He's like, hey guys, I'm gonna go and help y'all. I'm gonna join the ranks and fill in some stuff. And it was great. But what actually happened was that down at some, was it Guantanamo Bay or Jamaica Bay, the Fantastic Four somehow in Wild Issue finds this pod. And this pod, they open it and it turns out to have Jean Grey's body in there. Jean Grey apparently was never used to be the Phoenix. She just took the idea of her and took a piece of her imagery and used her to be the Phoenix. Meanwhile, while Cyclops is gone, he's in Alaska. He runs into this girl named Madeline Pryor. Looks exactly like Jean. He doesn't question, I guess because he's partially blind or it's all the red, whatever. But he ends up falling in love with homegirl.
Does he know that her name is not Jean?
Straight up knows her name is not Jean. He's like, what's your name? You pretty. She's like, my Madeline Pryor. He's like, okay, Jean, cool.
And the whole time,
bro, there's times in the comics where he's together and she's like pregnant. And he's just staring into the stars. She's like, it's her again, huh? You're thinking about Jean. He's like, yep.
That's the panel. And you're like, yo, what? It's crazy. So yeah, Cyclops is a straight dickhead to this Madeline girl.
She's begging him, like Jean is, hey yo, maybe we should like leave the X-Men. Like, you know what I mean? I think they'll be okay without you.
He's
like,
yeah,
nah, they can't do nothing without me. He's like, no, they're pretty capable. They got prideful.
He's too prideful.
They have Storm, so he didn't want to leave. He finally does leave, finds out Jean is back. In X-Factor number one, finds out Jean is back. Nathan is born. She's like, bro, if you leave, like, don't even come back. He's like, I'm out. Sorry, girl. I got to leave. It's just easy. He leaves, which leads into Inferno. And then you find out that Madeline was a clone that
this whole time.
And it was just basically.
And Madeline doesn't know she's a clone.
She doesn't know she's a clone. Okay. But it was a whole ruse made by Sinister in order to get Scott and Jean to make the perfect child. But that perfect child ends up being Cable.
Yeah.
Yeah, buddy.
So, taking that into consideration, everything that happens in the first two episodes, you have to wonder, was that Jean this whole time? Has this been a clone the whole time? Who are we seeing? Who got pregnant? Which is going to be a whole crazy way for them to adjust the story. Instead of Madeline, we're just going to probably get a whole clone story, which is going to have to introduce Sinister. And I feel like now, because this happens at the end, we're going to get Sinister. I just want to see Sinister, guys. I want to see an upgraded, redone animated Sinister looking badass.
He's going to be scary.
Yeah, because he was already scary when we were younger. Can you imagine how scary he's going to be with this upgraded HD 4K quality Sinister? Like,
my mind almost cannot like believe it. Watching, I think I've watched the first episode like three times, but my mind cannot even really wrap my head around seeing X-Men in HD.
Yes,
4K. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Like a moment for your eyes to adjust to like kind of the movie.
Yeah.
That took me honestly, like it was the first like two or three minutes. I'm like, something seems a little off. I'm like, oh,
well, so a lot of people have been saying because most people would have rewatched the last few episodes where the animation style was even worse than originally. When you get to this, the drastic change in animation makes you feel almost crazy because you're just like, okay, this is, you guys upgraded way too much. Like, this is
it's between. Oh, you can do this on shrooms. That would necessarily
transition.
Like, just the mixing between the Marvel animation into the intro song. Almost like, bro, who mixed that? Because you need an award.
Whoever
mixed the intro into the song dropping, it's seamless. You don't even like know when the X-Men song starting from the intro of Marvel. It's beautiful. Very well. Very good done. Thank you for making Morph useful.
Thank you.
Y'all don't have Mutant Center on the team, just have Morph change into them and everybody's happy. I don't like what they did with Colossus because that strongly suggests that he was on the team, but they'll address that. It's been a year, maybe 8 months. Xavier passed away. Perhaps Colossus came through, got fitted for a suit, said, hey, this is cool. Morph saw him. They said, what's up? And he left. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was cool. But Psylocke makes sense.
He's turned into Angel, Psylocke.
And Colossus. No, Lady Deathstrike, Sabretooth, and Colossus.
All those people are all people so far that made appearances, though, in the season four.
The only one that wasn't like continuity, right? Was Colossus. That's make me think, okay, so Colossus did join at some
point. Or you know, he's also still affiliated with, like, you know,
100%
the X-Men. They're international.
And can we point out the fact that this show picks up a couple months after the finale of the last season?
They're trying to say, it's the next day. That guy should be fired, whoever said that.
Well, because Jean is pregnant. She delivers by the second episode.
She's 9 months pregnant, so it's at least 9 months.
9 months later.
Yeah, but like I think it means the next day, meaning not like, oh, this is like a decade later or something.
No. Bro, we're X-Men. Don't play with me. We're X-Men.
That's fine. But when I started watching the episode, I expected it to be literally the next day. And then when I watch it and Jean's pregnant, I'm like, she wasn't like. So let's say this. At best, it's four or five months because some women don't show. For the first 3 months, the bump shows 4 months. So
if she was pregnant, she wouldn't have done some of the stuff in the last episode.
Well, we don't. No. Whoa, you're jumping to conclusions. This is Jean Grey. She's
in labor moved a kid and his drink and a dog up out the way of a truck speeding past them, and then put everyone back. You know what I'm saying? That's what she did while in labor.
Yeah, she's in labor. She's still Jean Grey. So
4 months pregnant, she could probably do some shit.
Exactly. So I'm not sure. Probably
like makes like an inside dome around the baby inside her stomach somehow.
Hell, maybe Nathan's doing it himself.
He's like, this be crazy.
Nathan felt Wolverine driving and turned that corner and was just like, shit, this thing is crazy. I'm gonna protect myself. Just put
a shield. Does have telekinetic powers.
Exactly. Right? That's what I'm saying. Oh, that's funny. So we got our first episode. We got a really good kind of reintroduction, you know, almost like a pilot. You know, it's a really common thing for when you're going to reboot a series to kind of give you like another pilot. You had a lot of exposition. You had characters saying things to kind of like catch you up. For example, when Jubilee is explaining to Roberto how the bracelet works for Bishop, that's for someone who didn't watch the show before. You know, like we know who Bishop is. We know that bracelet. We didn't need that exposition unless you don't know.
He's a time guy who got stuck here somehow. Right. I don't know. His bracelet ain't working.
Touch his bracelet.
He's like, you weren't here in the last episode. So did you come back and get stuck again?
Yeah. Bishop's saying, I've been through many timelines and I've never seen one where Magneto leads the X-Men. Fantastic line, but super interesting nod to the idea that and this is more to what Skinny's been saying and what you've been saying, Dave, there's a multiverse. He's been to multiple timelines. If you're doing Deadpool, who's one character you should definitely have show up in the background somewhere as a nod? Bishop.
100%. That was going to be my long reach eventually whenever we were going to talk about that.
I mean,
a short reach. That's a good reach.
I would say.
Because why would he not? Out of all the... Again, it depends what they're trying to do, right? If you're especially like... You have Wolverine that's going to be in it. If you want to do a good Bishop, you put a proper Bishop in there. Not saying that I'm not hating on the guy who did Bishop in Days of Future Past. I blame they filmed that.
Yeah.
I didn't blame that guy at all. It's how they filmed it that made it not great, in my opinion. But like, still, thank you for trying.
I got a dunk for your setup right now. Here,
that's what Omar.
I just want him. I want him somewhere on the timeline. He could just be standing there on the time. I don't care. Figure
here's
it out.
Here's how I'm going to dunk for you. Here's how I'm going to dunk your layup right there. Happy birthday, Dave, by the way.
Oh, yeah, happy birthday.
This is the layup to your dunk. I mean, the dunk to your layup. So you see how I know you guys have been seeing media, and I know you see my man Clifford out here. You know you see my man Method Man
doing
his stuff. Check. Yeah. Look at Method Man's hair right now.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Look at Bishop's face right now.
Yeah.
It's the same person.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
If you're smart, the end of this season, Bishop's like, oh, no, this shit's too fucked up. Go somewhere in the timeline. Deadpool Wolverine. Method Man. Bishop. Thank you. Method Man's been screaming this shit for years. I want to be Bishop. I want to be Bishop. I want to be Bishop. I
am not.
Method Man's like maybe 50, but he can do it.
That's not long term selection of character.
Like Dave, and it's not being, cocky. He's black.
No, I know.
but you know what I'm saying. Like,
I know, but still.
Put it this way: when you say long term, you're talking about long term planning for the X-Men universe,
like the movie universe. Because if you're bringing him in, right, if you're bringing in any character they're bringing in now, they have to look relatively much the same in like 5 to 10 years.
Method Man has looked the same for 15 years.
And also, you have to understand that
I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I'm just saying you're worried about hiring someone older. If you're concerned
about his ability to maintain his look, because we had this conversation about something else recently. I had it with Janessa and Jaws when we were talking about, I don't remember who we were talking about. And I kept saying like, but I think these actors could play those roles. Oh, when we were talking about Pedro and stuff and all these guys doing these roles, it's just like some of these people look old already. Some of them have gray and look much older and are going to be playing these roles now to play what, 5 years, 6 years.
But it also doesn't have to be forever.
And and Method Man,
he could just make the appearance for like kind of how Deadpool and Wolverine is rectifying things that were wrong about Fox universe. You see how they made Beast look like proper Beast, but it could still be Kelsey Grammer Beast. Yeah. Exactly what I'm saying. Method Man could come in to replace Dude from Days of Future Past, being the same Bishop, but it's Method Man now. And at the end of it, they just get a new guy to be Bishop later.
Another way to do it, which I think is better, is that you keep the animated universe Bishop.
Yeah.
You keep him there and you just make sure that you understand there's a tie. You know, this is how I do it. There's old man Bishop, which is fucking Method Man. He does that. He does all the things we need to know and all the things that X-Men need to help on Deadpool's journey. Ultimate Sacrifice. Oh, we lost him, but then there's, you know, variants, and then you get a snapshot of the animated, the guy who will be playing the animated version, like, you know, the bridge version at the end. And that's how you can get everything. I'm saying that as like, if you're trying to plan, because again, it's also, you don't want to get someone, and I'm saying this with respect, if he's like 60 by the time you're at the end, like, Bishop is a spry character.
Bishop's 40 something, my G.
Yeah, but he's always spry in his shit and stuff.
I think we also need to take into consideration, it depends on what you're trying to do. Are you going to have Bishop? Because when you're doing an animated show, it's easy to make a spry character look spry. It's a different thing when you start doing these characters in the movies. Do you still want Bishop to be running around, flipping upside down, doing breakdancing style helicopter capoeira kicks? No. The big thing about Bishop is he can absorb and redirect. We don't need him to be spry. We need him to be a tank, actually. He's
roadblock.
Yeah. As a character in the comic books and in the movies, he shouldn't be like lean and
that slide down into this.
Yeah,
that was a little much for Bishop. I don't know.
He doesn't need to be like Deadpool. He doesn't need to be flexible and all that stuff. Wolverine does, because his whole thing is jumping on people, quick clawing, digging.
Claws are like this far from your hand.
You're swinging swords, but Bishop, you're still like, he's doing a lot of, mind you, they could cover it up.
Dude, it's gun on his shoulder and redirecting.
Yeah, but if you want, if you watch it,
my guy,
when you're watching it or reading it, it's more like him jumping from things and shooting at in midair and things like that.
Yeah, but that, you don't need a spry guy for that. Dude, Dave, we grew up in the 80s. How many of those action stars were spry guys? They were big, bulky guys jumping from buildings going, I'll be back. Like, you're not, they weren't skinny, fit. They didn't look like Cyclops. They didn't have swimmers' bodies, you know? Like, these are bulky guys doing that. Yeah, exactly.
Good Van Damme.
I'm not against the concept. I'm just saying, I'm not sure if it's good for long term
plans. I'll say real quick, we got a message from Tete. TT, apologies. I'm so happy we're getting weekly drops of the episodes instead of dumping the entire season. Agreed. I do agree with that mentality. I love geek convos like this. We talk, theorize, and deep dive. I hope this becomes a weekly thing for y'all. I would love to do it weekly. I don't know if you all have the time. That's the thing. It all depends on our schedules. If not weekly, maybe bi-weekly. We'll do two episodes at a time. We got lucky that they double dropped this time. They won't be doing that every time, but maybe we could do recaps. But also, we have Geek Sypha. So if you guys are watching this and you want to watch us on Wednesdays, don't worry. We're going to be talking about this on that show.
Especially if the show comes out Wednesday. Like, I'm going to make sure to watch that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, ideally, we're going to do. The only reason we're doing this week is
we didn't have a show this week.
Yeah. And because it's a double episode and we got to focus on it specifically, it's an advantage to come in and have this conversation. But more back to the episode.
A shot Storm in the chest. Or Storm got shot in the chest.
Yeah.
Through the chest?
No, in the chest.
In the back. Didn't she
throw herself towards?
Yeah, man? Yeah, she threw herself.
Yeah, bare radiation all in her chest. She got shot just like in the comics, but no Forge, so I don't know how they're going to do this, even though they're calling.
Well, you could make Forge later.
What? No, he's there. He's already a part of the show, but I don't see how they're going to like do the whole, because throughout this, Forge makes the gun. It was for neutralized powers. Henry Gyrick turns that shit up to like 11.
Did Forge know he was making?
Oh yeah, 100%. It was Valerie Cooper who hired a nigga to do it. It could be Valerie Cooper who hired Homeboy to get that gun to give it to Executioner. When we find out Val's not so cool, but then we also find out that Val was Mystique at some point. But anyways, all to say, Forge made the gun. Gun go boom. Gyrick shot. Was trying to aim at Rogue, ended up shooting Storm. Storm loses her powers. Yeah. Storm and Forge fall in love in an issue called like Love End or whatever, which is the name of episode 4. So, they're doing this shit like, and they're speeding it up. So, with these being actually 30-minute episodes, you can get a lot in these episodes, boy. Yeah. I'm excited. I'm so excited.
In the first episode, a lot of Cyclops dealing with the loss of Xavier, a lot of his emotional trauma and him working through, a lot of Cocky Roberto and Jubilee hangouts. How do you guys... Sorry?
Gambit acting a little bit too Wolverine.
What do you mean?
Yeah, okay. So how did you feel about Gambit in these first two episodes? Because I feel like they're going to give Gambit a heel turn. And
they have to give him a heel turn. You know why? Well, oh my gosh, they are. Oh my god. Oh shit, Brian.
Well, isn't he Bishop comes to kill? Doesn't Bishop come to kill Gambit originally because he knows Gambit turns on the X-Men? Yes.
So, but what he does in the comics, you find out the whole reason for Mutant Massacre was where the Morlocks in the sewers get obliterated by the Nasty Boys / the Marauders by Sinister, which is gonna go down. Oh my gosh.
Right.
Because basically Gambit sells them out. But Gambit was a member of the Marauders.
Yes.
He wasn't a part of the X-Men at this time. But if they flip it this way, where he was a member of the X-Men, and because Magneto got his girl, he goes to Sinister and tells him where the Morlocks are at? Dog!
Yeah, because as soon as I started watching the episode, I felt, because even the beginning intro where Remy is being kind of cocky about why he didn't show up to help in a fight. First of all, you're an X-Men. Someone's been kidnapped. You need the team. And you're just like, hey, man, these donuts needed more attention. What the fuck are you talking about? In what world does a donut need more attention? But anyways, so you get Remy being super cocky about that. He throws an explosive card at Cyclops that Jean has to stop. He spends the episode seeming somewhat aloof and not caring about anything. You get him to the nightclub. He's kind of all about, you know, Rogue. It's just like, girl, me and you, let's knock these boots. And even though you can see she doesn't need that right now, like, I'm about physical touch right now because I feel like I'm lacking and missing, but it's kind of deeper than that. Like, I feel like I'm missing out on connection. And you can tell, like, he just keeps playing it up as like, baby, I got these abs. Let's go play. Like, and then next episode, again, the vibe is kind of, I mean, sure, super fucking cool thing he does at the end of the first episode with the charging up the claws on Wolverine. Wolverine getting morphed to turn into Blob. Oh, that's another person he turns into, Blob. We forgot to mention.
Forgot about Blob. Sorry.
Blob. Okay. He bounces off Blob, cuts off the head of the mega. What's it called? Not Mother.
Master Mold.
Master Mold.
Master Mold. His claws or something explodes because his shirt's gone, and that would have to kinetically go boom. So
yeah, that was one thing.
Did Wolverine's hand explode and he just kind of rejuvenated on Earth?
Actually, I have to give credit to Frankie the Fighter on YouTube. Because she points out that there are times in the comic book where he's been able to throw things and they don't explode.
Yeah, it could just be a charge.
Often. He can charge thing, but it doesn't explode. It just lights on fire. Right, so okay. I think it's the level of which, how much he charged it.
Okay, so he's been practicing.
Yeah.
Well, that's the one thing about this show. One thing I want to insert quickly is that I really liked how they upgraded everyone. Either the power itself or the usage of set power. For example, Cyclops alone.
Dude.
He pushed himself around.
Yes, the new fighting style, like fucking skating off of his
skating off the blade, complete perfect use of everything. Then you have Jubilee, who's using her powers at a better level. You have Gambit showing that he's able to charge other things because it's always just been the cards. You saw it with his baton at one point. You saw him with grabbing stuff. Like, I liked how they upgraded that. Storm, even how Storm was using her powers, it's like, yo, this is dope. Like,
but I mean, is this
like a tornado full of Sentinels? I mean, come on. Like,
yeah, that's just animation upgrades also too,
but still. Yes. But that's the point.
Yeah, it is the point. Yeah, they do like they are upgrading in the team, but it's also that they're showcasing not they've grown, but also animation has grown in itself. Yeah. That's what the kind of ode to. That's why like that whole scene with this like the Sentinels flying from the sky, that just like angelic looking type stuff is just showing you like this is what we can do now. In the early 90s, this was bumpkins. Yeah. We could not draw this kind of stuff.
They didn't have the money and maybe not even the skills to draw it that well.
Right. But so yeah.
One of the things I want to add about Cyclops' power as depicted in the show, though, can we take a moment for them to finally depict the concussive blast properly and not as a heat-based thing? Because I feel like a lot of people understand Cyclops' blast as heat, and it's a concussive blast. It's not a laser.
Well, I think that's why he was able to knock dude straight in the face, and like his face didn't melt.
Right. That's the thing. His blast doesn't burn. When you've seen him use his concussive blast to push through things or like burrow through things, that's just if you have a concentrated beam on something pushing repeatedly, it will eventually push through. If you punch the same spot over and over, it creates heat.
He's just doing it at a very the touch of his blade is hot.
Yeah,
it can be hot.
Yeah,
the touch of his blade. It depends when he stops. See, it also depends when he stops it, right? Like when he's shooting someone.
Yeah,
he's not putting it at a because he controls not just open like the thickness or whatever. He's controlling the amount of power at all times, right? Yeah. So it's like I could hit you. I could hit you. I could melt you, but I hit people. I don't melt them. That's
And that's
it's like Superman's punch, right? Like Superman punches a foe until he realizes, okay, now is when I could punch you the hardest without killing you, and then he does it.
Yeah, with his concussive blast, I guess the idea is it's a difference between like you said, punching someone and melting someone. He doesn't really melt though. He's just at his strongest, he's knocking you with a consistent force repeatedly. So instead of instead of like melting from a laser, it would be like being punched billions of times over and over by an energy blast.
Yeah, except for when he did it to Magneto's head in Ultimatum. That must have been like because he disintegrates his face.
Yeah. Right, which that's the thing. Like David's saying, it depends on how much energy you put into it. Yeah. Like how Superman
can and how close range you are. If you're like where the mic bar grate is here, and I just go
it's because I think when he goes to like a super level, like with his energy, I think it to a certain degree is like heat or lasery. That's because you're at such a level, right?
Yeah,
like he would never do that. Like if he did that to someone, there is no one there left to look at the
burn marks. You know what it is, Dave? It's rug burn.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. The reason I say that is because the cartoon has such good money and graphics that they're able to depict when Storm showed up and she hit the sand, it turned to glass. When he fell out of the plane and gave it his strongest blast to slow down his fall, that didn't turn to glass, it just made a crater. And that to me was a very important distinction between his power and how his energy is unleashed and her power and how her energy is unleashed.
You better do this boy justice in the movies, boy. Like,
can we do one in appreciation for that moment? So if you notice in that moment, right? the Blackbird gets destroyed, right?
Wild.
When you see, like, so Cyclops has this big dramatic fall, right? And then he lands perfectly, right? Mm. Then he's like, to me, my X-Men. You'll notice that, like, Rogue has goes and grabs and throws two people. Storm does the same. But you'll just notice that Wolverine just, like, falls just so casually beside him. Not a dent in the ground. Not, like, smoke or anything. It's like, boop. And we're like, yo, did you land somewhere else and jump from the trees? Or is that, like, when you landed and fell and you're just like...
No, like, Morph dropped him as Angel, but, like, he's just a ninja and, you know...
Wolverine... Yeah. No, I don't think he grabbed him, though. That's what I'm saying.
He does grab him.
He does. He transforms into Archangel, grabs Wolverine.
Yeah.
Rogue dives through, punches through something, grabs Bishop and Beast. Storm takes care of, I think, Gambit, or Gambit handles himself. I don't know how Gambit got down there, but yeah.
No, because
it was just quick. It was just happened so fast. Because you see, honestly, Dave, you're not wrong. I had to rewind the scene because I said, where did Wolverine get caught? And when I rewound the scene, you see Morph come out of the plane, morph into Archangel, fly towards Wolverine. And Wolverine's just like this, like almost like hands behind his head, relaxing as he's falling. Because he's like, whatever, I'll be fine.
Don't grab me.
He's like, we'll figure it out. Either they grab me or I hit the ground and I just heal. Like, you're like, okay, that's one way to approach that.
Jeez.
So you got your girl Cooper, who shows up at the end of that episode. She's really laying in thick that she's friends with Charles. A lot of Charles references. Mm-hmm. Skinny, how do you feel about seeing her? Because you were saying in the group chat you were very excited.
Val Cooper, it means so much. Val Cooper starts government liaison for X-Factor, but they're not even going to go there yet. I'm hoping that they're going to rebunk X-Factor and do something else. But all I'm saying is Val Cooper was there, did her thing, creates the Freedom Force. Freedom Force had Mystique, had Destiny, Blob, Pyro, Avalanche, and at the time, Spiral and Spider-Woman on the team. So, like, just through that, you're just introducing other things. You're going to bring in Julia Carpenter, Spider-Woman, if they do it properly, which they will, because there's no reason not to.
Okay.
I'm just so excited.
I'm just so curious, because this show, even from when we were kids, it had carte blanche on all characters, right?
There was
not maybe with them talking, but with them appearing. There was so many times there was Deadpool already on the show.
Yeah,
appeared later season, but they had restrictions on, like, Psylocke couldn't be in the show until later seasons. That's why she was included. She was included in season 3 and end of season 4 because they were going to have her replace the X-Men, like some X-Men at the end. But they were not about Psylocke the first 2 seasons. They weren't about certain characters. And yeah, they had some restrictions.
Was that a restriction because Marvel told them you can't use these characters, or restrictions as in, because of the story you're trying to tell, we want you to hold off on bringing these characters in?
They had restrictions. They restricted themselves because they were kids would be too confused with Jean and Psylocke. And you're like,
So with that said, I do understand what Dave's trying to say. True. It is cool that for as long as we had the run, because you know how we all know what we're talking about. We're talking about DC. We're talking about how DC would push their finger on the scale and be like, you can use these characters, you can't use these characters, you can use these characters, you can't use these characters. And even at Marvel, a little bit with the Marvel TVs, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. got screwed over because they couldn't use certain things, but they could do. And they still managed to make it work, but were limiting them.
It suffered when that show suffered. The fact that you can never see a Captain America, a Nick Fury, or a Scarlet...
Black Widow.
Or Black Widow, sorry.
Yeah.
The fact that they couldn't be regulars on the show, didn't that show...
I'm not even happy about Cap, but I get you about Black Widow. I mean, even get you more about, like, them having a Mockingbird, but her not being Mockingbird.
Right. It's stuff like that. So that's why now that this animated show, which, you know, again, shout outs to Ryan over at Screen Rant, when he was talking about the fact that this is coming full circle, because the one of the first properties from Marvel Studios when it started was this show, and how a lot of people give credit, and even the book that I mentioned a few times on the pod, MCU, They talk about the fact that they ran episodes of this show in the evening to see how well people would react to the X-Men IP. And because it did so well in evening time slots, that's why we got X-Men the movie. That's why Marvel started to blow up with all these characters. And that's why we have the modern day MCU, which is a huge thing to take into consideration. This is a big full circle for fans of the X-Men, because this show that they're now bringing back as X-Men 97 is the reason Marvel is where they are. And they finally got all their IPs back under, you know, except for some weird deals here and there, but almost everything's in-house now, which is fantastic. So, I mean, we have to wrap it up a little bit soon, but I just want to talk about the second episode a bit more, because we talked about the first pretty much to the end, because Val Kooper shows up, and then the final scene of that episode is they're playing basketball. Cyclops is about to tell the team that him and Jean are leaving, and then you get an alert. Someone's in the mansion. It's Magneto. He's in the room looking at Charles's will, and he tells them, "You're now essentially my X-Men. This is all under my purview."
Yeah, and the second episode is like a fucking... It's amazing how they still are able to do... I call it the X-Men animated / Batman animated effect, to be able to really say a lot in 30 minutes and do a full start and end and middle... Start, middle, and end to a three-act story.
Yeah,
they're able to do that so well and put so much information and not overload you in doing it, because the fact that in the second episode it was like, here's Magneto. Magneto has changed. Magneto has very much shown that he's changed. He's also shown how far he's being willing to push for people to not realize, like, hey, we're trying to be important here, because there's not people like me that will be nice. There's a lot of people who don't want to be nice. And like, I'm trying to be nice, like, stop messing around. Yeah. And then on top of all that, him be part of a sub story of essentially Rogue and him getting connected.
Dude, okay. Let's look at episode 2.
Trial of Magneto, episode issue 200, word for word almost.
Yeah, you have the Morlocks being freed from the sewers. Mm-hmm. You have the Trial of Magneto. You have the birth of Nathan Charles Scott,
which happens at the end of 200.
You have
that issue. Hold on.
You have the relationship between Magneto and Rogue,
which scared me for Age of Apocalypse for a moment, by the way.
Yeah, and you have the heel turn for Remy.
Because do you think this will turn into Age of Apocalypse?
Didn't they already do Age of Apocalypse in the X-Men series? The anime?
No, I'm talking about long term.
I'm not sure. I don't expect them to double dip. I think they already kind of touched on
because does Rogue actually date? I always knew that she dated him in Age of Apocalypse. Does she date him in X-Men comics?
Where
I mean,
Rogue.
Yeah.
At some point during the Siege Perilous, when they go through the Siege Perilous after during the Outback X-Men, Rogue passes through and she gets trapped in the Savage Land, and Magneto just happens to be there. So during that time, they do hook up, fall in love, so on and so forth. That is portrayed on, I think, X-Men like 180 something. But yeah, I have a lot of these comics.
Yeah, I have two copies of that comic for some reason.
What? You guys have this one. Yeah, I have this one.
You should really keep on to those.
I got one copy and then bought a box of something and had it again in it. And I was like, okay. I was actually annoyed that I had... Sorry?
I'd say keep those copies now, man.
I've been talking to the people over at Crossover Comics. They have these new sleeves for comic books that are like that you can hang that look really nice, that I'm seriously considered getting, because I have a lot of the hip hop covers and I have a lot of Alex Ross original covers of like Black Panther, Black Bolt, Storm. So there's a few of them that I want to hang. But yeah, I mean, that might be one I might put up, because if it pops off and this is really the path that we're taking now in X-Men, it'd be nice to have that cover hanging on my wall, knowing that
I need
like,
to get this graded, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. Well, man, getting stuff graded is expensive. I did it recently, and I got some good stuff, but some autograph stuff that got good grades. But some of that stuff, you pay super high to get it graded and then you get it back and it's like, oh, this is only an 8. And I'm like, it's in pristine condition as from what I can see. It's like, well, there's this little line here and your and your staple wasn't perfectly aligned, so it caused an indentation that pushed through these pages. And I'm like, oh,
God. You just want to get him more mad at him as you go. You're like, listen, shut up. Stop talking about my comic like that. Stop it.
Yeah,
shut up.
I can't hate that. Well, guys, I guess we should wrap it up because, you know, but we said it at the beginning. We ended up covering a lot of the second episode at the beginning. But with everything that Magneto has said and everything that Magneto's done, the team kind of seems like they're in a good place now, potentially. And then, Dave, like you said, that ending, because at the end of that episode, before that ending happens, you kind of get a sense of, oh, this might work out. Cyclops hands coffee to Magneto. He's like, poison? He's like, no, Dark Rose. We're making jokes about killing you. Sure, that's where we're at. We're now cool. We've been trying to kill each other for years, but in perspective, we're now cool. Let's drink some coffee together. Let's be a big family. This is the big family that you're seeing, all these people together. And then we end it with a clone or the original on the doorsteps.
So I'm just going to do a quick 2 second. I feel what you just described is because episode 1 and 2 was like a season in itself and a wrap up and a catch up to being like, hey, this is where we're at. You had a lot to digest before. Now that there's been several years, we don't have to remember that last season of a lot of mixing, matching of what things were out of order, and Disney Plus puts it all in order. So don't fake me out. I was there when it originally came out. Season 5 was a shit show of poor order.
Now it was.
Forget about that.
Can we have a run on Twitter? When they wanted the Snyder Cut? What do they call that? Do these pushes? Can we do that for recut the
reanimate final the season 5?
Reanimate hashtag reanimate season 5 because man,
it's hard.
That'd be great. But go on, Dave. Yeah, you're saying.
I just find that those the last 2 episodes, it's like this is like a mini, and it's funny because they're like, oh, 10 episodes. The biggest, the latest, the most recent was 8 episodes, I think, in length of the shows that they're releasing. I'm like, yeah, because the first 2 are like, this is your catch up. This is your total previously on X-Men type moment.
Yeah.
And now the rest of the season is going to just, it's going to be its own thing. It's going to get wild. That's what I think the rest is going to be.
Skinny, hit us.
Yeah, man, I already told y'all in July what's it going to be. I'm happy. It's leading to everything that we're going to get. We're going to get Mutant Massacre. You know, I'm just going to say this. Y'all know Rachel Summers is showing up.
Yes.
Cable has to go to the future, and that whole Axani thing has to go down. So Rachel Summers is showing up. Rachel Summers is going to be there by the end of the season. Yeah, man, just be happy. Just be happy.
Nightcrawler seems to be up soon as well based off of our most recent commercial.
I got him in season 3. I'm cool on Nightcrawler. Just bring back the fact that you guys alluded to both Angel being on the team by showing him in the original picture. Yet when you show Archangel, Warren's never being like, hey, Cyclops, I remember you and Jean. Like, good. Rectify things. Bring back Archangel. Bring back Psylocke. Bring back my Colossus. And I'm good. I am good. If we have a full blue team and gold team by the end of the season, which we will, I'm good.
You're calling that they're going to have multiple teams.
The way they're doing this, they got to, because Cyclops is going to bounce. We're going to have no Jean. We're going to have a whole bunch of fuckery. Like, we're introducing Roberto. When Magneto was a leader of the X-Men, Storm came back as Punk Storm, and she was more or less leading the X-Men when they were doing Mutant Massacre out back, because a bunch of stuff happened with them. But Magneto was home with New Mutants. They already introduced Cannonball. So, Sam's gonna come back. You're gonna get Roberto coming back. Then we're gonna get Future Cable. He's gonna take the New Mutants. Blah 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 blah. X-Force, bro. They're going ham.
Oh shit.
This is what they did in 2 episodes, and they have 10 episodes, and we're talking about 3 seasons, bro.
Yeah. So here we go. This in the bottom, you guys can see it. This is the list of the episode. To Me, My X-Men and Mutant Liberation Begins. Those are the 2 episodes we just discussed. We have Fire Made Fresh, March 27th. Yeah, we have Motendo. Am I saying right, Motendo?
Motendo and Life Death,
Part 1, April 3rd. Remember It, April 10th. Life Death, Part 2, April 17th. Bright Eyes, April 24th. Tolerance is Extinction, Part 1, May 1st. Extinction, Part 2, May 8th. And Tolerance is Extinction, Part 3, season finale, May 15th.
Let me quick call on Tolerance is Extinction. That's Extinction Agenda. Guaranteed.
Okay.
If you know that story, Google Extinction Agenda X-Men.
That's what that is.
Or if you want to be surprised, don't. Yeah, but if you if you're like us, you probably are going
to
want to know.
I'm talking to you guys, but for the rest of y'all, just, you know, I forget I'm talking to people on here sometimes. Not just
True. Honestly, there's I think the best part of doing a podcast is the fact that we're talking together. This conversation is very much for us. We appreciate all of you who've watched. If you're watching this later, or if you watched it live, we appreciate you because we saw people jump in while we were doing the show. So we appreciate the views. And, you know, as they always say, I don't always say it often enough, but if you do like what you're seeing, like, if you want to subscribe, please subscribe. And also, one of the things that I'm realizing I never tell people, but please share if you can, because we do appreciate when people share the content. Guys, that's pretty much the whole thing. We had fun. I didn't know we were going to do an hour, but it makes sense that we got to talk about this.
You not?
Yeah, I know. We went deep. I'm not even going to play an outro here. I'm just going to put this up, and we're going to say peace, y'all.
Peace. X-Men.